Ulysses Grant rose from obscurity to discover he had a genius for battle, and he propelled the Union to victory in the Civil War. After Abraham Lincoln's assassination and the disastrous brief presidency of Andrew Johnson, America turned to Grant again to unite the country, this time as president. In H.W. Brands' full biography, The Man Who Saved the Union, Ulysses Grant in War and Peace, Grant emerges as a heroic figure who was fearlessly on the side of right. He was a beloved commander in the field, but willing to make the troop sacrifices necessary to win the war, even in the face of storms of criticism. He was an enormously popular president whose memoirs were a huge bestseller, yet within decades of his death, his reputation was in tatters, the victim of Southerners who resented his policies on Reconstruction. H.W. Brands is the Dixon Allen Anderson Professor of History at the University of Texas at Austin. Again, the new book is The Man Who Saved the Union, and it's a great pleasure to welcome H.W. Brands to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure to be here, Joe.
What brought you to this subject, specifically looking at Grant in War and Peace?
I have been teaching and writing about American history for 25 years. And all that time I've discovered, or at least I've concluded, that there is something that draws people and societies toward war. War isn't entirely when things go wrong. There's something attractive about war. There's certain personalities that thrive in war and don't thrive elsewhere. Grant was a very good example of that. Before the Civil War, he stumbled and fumbled from one occupation to another. By the early 1861, he had settled into a life of projected mediocrity. If not for the Civil War, the world never would have heard of him. The war came, the war rescued him from this mediocre life that he was living and allowed him to reveal the gift that he had for war.
Why is he, given these chapters of his life in which he prevailed, through time, through history, is he still seen as a controversial figure?
Military historians recognize that Grant was essential to the Union victory. They understand that Grant essentially inaugurated modern warfare. It was the dawn of the Industrial Age, and Grant understood what was necessary for the Union to win. He was criticized during his time for the very high rates of casualties. Now, in fact, the rates of casualties weren't any higher for Grant than they were for Lee, but it was something that took Americans getting used to because they had never fought a war like this. Grant's casualty rate would have been lower, except that Lee insisted that it be a war of attrition, and on those terms, Grant was willing to fight. But the Civil War was a huge shock to the American system, and so even in victory, Grant became subject to criticism simply because the war cost so much.
You look at this in the book, and it's one of the most fascinating aspects, about how one impacted the other, in the sense of how that experience in the war and through war shaped him to allow him to be the president that he was.
Grant had gifts that even he didn't realize until the war came along. And he was, in his own way, a genius at war. He understood how to mobilize troops. He understood the logistics. He understood how to identify what was necessary to win the war. At the end of the war, he was the great hero of the Union. In fact, in the very last moment of the war, he became, even in Southern eyes, sort of the good Union general for the generous terms of surrender he accorded Lee at Appomattox. And then, after that, it was almost inevitable that he would become president. The United States, Americans had before then and even after, had this penchant for rewarding victorious generals with the presidency. And in Grant's case, because he was the hero of the North, and at least among Union generals, relatively acceptable in the South, he was the one who could provide the unity that the country needed during Reconstruction. Now, that unity began to break down. Grant took the side of the principles of Lincoln, but even he couldn't stop the divisions that were setting in the country after the war.
You talk about early on in his administration, in the first weeks of his first term, of just trying to figure out who was going to be his team, and he knew the importance, but it was finding that team that was so important to him.
Grant presided over a moment when the Republican Party was splitting down the middle. The Republicans originated in the 1850s as an alliance of anti-slavery advocates and pro-business advocates. During the Civil War, these two groups managed to maintain a common cause. After the war, though, after slavery ended, many on the business side of the party wanted simply to forget about the business of freeing the slaves and according equal rights to African Americans. Grant was one who remained loyal to that position. He took very seriously Lincoln's ideas about elevating the slaves, giving them equal political and civil rights. And it was the split between the two wings of the party that Grant got caught in the middle of. And it's one of the reasons that even some Republicans began to criticize Grant before the end of his administration.
You talk in the book, there's a couple times you mention this, of where he places himself, you say that he places himself indisputably above politics. How was he able to do that? Because we can't even imagine that now.
As a career military officer, Grant tended to disdain politics because he thought he identified politics with politicians, and politicians always seemed to be getting in the way of the clear-sighted pursuit of the national interest. And I would point out that's one of the things that Grant found very liberating about war. During the war, things were clear. There was one measure of success. You won or you lost. You lived or you died. After the war, politics made things much more confusing. So Grant wasn't alone in thinking that politics was messy and sometimes very low. As a result, he tried to stay above politics. This is standard for soldiers who go into politics. George Washington did it. Andrew Jackson did it. Dwight Eisenhower would do it in the 20th century. The only thing is that once you become a president, you're smack in the middle of politics, whether you want to be or not.
When it came to the life of a general versus that of a president, how good was he at compromise? Because it seemed like that was very important to him.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the things he discovered as president was that compromise was necessary. During wartime, compromise generally isn't necessary.
Right.
If you have the troops, if you have the force, you get your way. But politics is indeed the art of the compromise. So Grant found himself, for example, resisting the terrorism that took the form of the Ku Klux Klan. He was able to persuade Congress to give him extraordinary powers to break up the Klan. He succeeded at that. But he understood that military force could not be used on a regular basis in peacetime, and that sooner or later, the opinions of the white majority in the South would probably disenfranchise the freedmen, the former slaves. He could hold the line, he could establish a moral principle, but he couldn't dictate to in a democracy. And that was something that he ultimately had to recognize.
When we think of his legacy, which you explore obviously in this book, do you think that we're seeing the beginning of a turn in how we perceive Grant and his role?
I think so, and I do explain a little bit in the book about how and why Grant's reputation declined after he left office and remained low for a long time. But I think there's a greater appreciation now of the moral example and the moral standard that Grant set. One of the points I make in the book is that Grant was the only president between Abraham Lincoln and Lyndon Johnson for nearly a century to take civil rights at all seriously. Now, he ultimately lost that battle in the near term, but the example that he provided was something that subsequent generations of advocates of equality could point to and take heart from.
You, what is interesting, of course, is that when Grant passed away, he passed away right here in our region in Wilton, New York, and Mount McGregor at his cottage. What brought him to this region?
Well, at that point, he was trying to seek relief from the cancer that was killing him. He never really had a hometown that he identified with before the Civil War. During the Civil War, he was in camp and on the move. He was 8 years in Washington. He finally settled down in New York City. But as the cancer progressed, he needed to get out of the city. He wanted to go to what amounted to a health spa. So he went upstate. And it was there that he completed his memoirs. And there's, I mean, it's a very touching part of Grant's story. In fact, I begin and end the book with Grant writing his memoirs, because it was a race between Grant retelling his life and Grant's own life fading away. And it's to the great benefit of the rest of us, people who appreciate fine literature in American history, that he won that race. He finished the memoir just a couple weeks before he died.
There's something haunting about going to the cottage of seeing that the clock stopped a few minutes past eight when he passed away.
It stops for all of us sooner or later.
Absolutely. When you look at his life, especially now when we're focused on a presidential race, of where he stands in our where he stands as president, and how he will be remembered as commander in chief.
Grant will be remembered as a great commander in chief. His military reputation is essentially unchallengeable. He will never be considered one of the great presidents because of an overall lack of accomplishments. But Reconstruction was probably the most difficult time in American history to be president. Grant will get credit, though, for establishing principle, for standing for the values that America ultimately likes to think that it stands for.
The name of the book is The Man Who Saved the Union, Ulysses Grant in War and Peace. The book is published by Doubleday. H.W. Brand's, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you for having me, Joe.
A great pleasure. Again, the name of the book, The Man Who Saved the Union, Ulysses S. Grant in War and Peace. It's the name of the book. It's published by Doubleday. H.W. Brand's is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.